We've been going through the parables of Jesus, the stories of Jesus, and this morning we come to a new one. We're going to look at the unforgiving servant and really pray that God helps us with that this morning. And then just afterwards, I'm not going to preach for very long, but afterwards we just want to pray for one another. I think God's been doing stuff in the worship and we want to return to that, perhaps worship a bit and just pray for one another this morning as we come to a close. So let's look this morning at Matthew chapter 18. Dave will continue with us next week. And we've been looking at the subject of anger, how to deal with anger. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago I spoke to you about an incident I had on the freeway? Do you remember that? I'm sure you do. And so this is very relevant for all of us because sometimes we just get a little bit angry, don't we? And how to handle emotions and how to handle anger. So this is an excellent story to help us. I said to you I would return and do a second part to this because it's such an important subject. So let's pick up at Matthew 18 from verse 21. And then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. And he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went out and reported to the master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to each one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And Lord, we ask for your blessing on your word this morning. You'd make it come alive for us, and you'd help us to handle our emotions well for the glory of God. Amen. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at this message on anger, and we said a few things a couple of weeks ago as we looked at the prodigal son and we looked at the angry older brother. Do you remember that? How many of you remember? Great. We looked at the angry older brother and we said a few things. We said that anger is a very strong emotion. It's the dynamite of your soul. And we said that it comes from sinful desires within us, things we want and we can't have. And we said anger is a tricky thing to understand because sometimes we can hide our anger. But the Bible thankfully tells us to be angry, but not to sin. Amen. But not to sin. And we need to be like God who is slow to anger. We mustn't have blow anger or no anger, but if we get angry, it must be slow anger. And we want the Lord to help us to keep our anger in control. And so that's really what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at how do we handle when we get angry? How can we ask the Lord to help us to fix our anger? And I want to give you a few points this morning. We're going to look at we need to acknowledge our anger. We need to analyze our anger. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to step in and help us with the presence of God. And finally, we need to begin to act obediently out of our wrong emotions or angry emotions as well. And so this is a story here that Jesus tells. And Jesus is radical as usual. So Peter is saying to Jesus, Jesus, should I forgive my brother seven times? Peter thinks he's really being merciful and forgiving. He says, Lord, how about seven times? Is that good? And Jesus looks at him and Jesus says, no, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus is just so radical. When you read the Bible, you just... Again and again, you just see how radical Jesus is. So basically, Jesus is saying, no, I want you to have unlimited forgiveness towards people. It must be unlimited. It must never end. You must have unlimited forgiveness. And here we have a story of great forgiveness and mercy that the king extended towards the servant. But it's also a story about anger, where the servant continued to be angry, and he was forgiven, but not forgiving. He was forgiven, but not forgiving. And he had a debt of millions of dollars in today's terms that was canceled because of the king. He canceled it, but then he went out, and for a few hundred dollars, he began to choke, and he began to throttle his fellow servant, and he began to shake him. And it's just a clue that there might be a bit of anger involved with him and that fellow servant. And so Dave will pick up more on forgiveness next week, but the lesson for us here, I'm just going to touch on it this morning because that last verse may trouble you. The lesson for us here is that we really need to forgive one another and move in forgiveness, because if you don't move in forgiveness, it will imprison you. It will actually trap you and imprison you. And instead of the freedom of forgiveness, you will experience the bondage of bitterness, and you will become entrapped. And so what really that last verse is talking about, although you justified, although you saved legally in the eyes of God, although because of Christ you have been saved and justified and set free, if you don't forgive someone else, if you withhold forgiveness and walk with unforgiveness in your heart, in your relationship with God, you will not experience His forgiveness. You will not experience His touch. You will not be having fellowship with God, even though you're saved. It will affect your relationship with God, and it will imprison you. That's really what it means. Terry Virgo says, Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When we pray this, we are saying, Lord, I expect you to deal with me as I deal with others. Give me the same amount of forgiveness I give to them. And so if we want to know the freedom and joy of forgiveness, we must also forgive. Because God watches our relationship with others. Grace doesn't mean God overlooks all these things, but God wants us to be forgiving to others. You won't lose your salvation, but you may experience a break in fellowship. You won't know God's face shining on you. And as I said, Dave will pick that up next week. But let's just look at this whole subject of anger, because here we have this servant who was forgiven of all his debts, and yet he refused himself to be forgiven. He was angry, and he went out and he attacked his fellow servant. He said, I need my bucks. I need the money back. And he asked him for that money. And friends, this whole subject of forgiveness and not moving in anger is so important today. Can you just turn that down for me? I'm roasting here. Thanks. It's so important today, and sometimes we even need to forgive ourselves, don't we? Sometimes people say, well, I can forgive others, but I battle to forgive myself. Or maybe you're angry with God, and you say, well, you know, God's put me through some stuff, and I can't forgive God. Well, I just want to speak into that just quickly. You see, it's not really wise to be angry towards God, because every time we're angry with God, it's because we fail to understand His goodness and kindness. As Dave was reminding us this morning, no anger towards God is ever justified, friends, however tough a situation you're in. Because God never betrays us. He never does. And if you look at the Psalms, the psalmists do a lot of groaning, and they do a lot of pleading, and they take their distress to God, but they're always moving towards God. When you're angry with God, and you say, well, I can't forgive God, you're actually shoving Him away and moving away from God. And so the Bible teaches us how to address our distress to God. And we need to go before the Lord sometimes. So, oh, Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, these things have happened to me. And we need to speak to the Lord. But it's called a cry of faith, not a roar of rage. And we need to find forgiveness from God. You can't grant God forgiveness. You can't say to the Lord, Lord, I'm rebuilding my relationship with you and it's beginning with me. Lord, I forgive you. Doesn't work like that. You need to receive His forgiveness and sort things out with Him. But we can never say, Lord, you know, I can't forgive you because God never betrays us. And in terms of our own lives, once you realize God has forgiven you for everything in Christ, you can forgive yourself. So don't hold on to unforgiveness in your own life. Let it go because Jesus has forgiven you. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's look at anger this morning. I want to give you 4 points briefly this morning. First of all, how do you fix anger? And this is important if you're an emotional kind of person like me, or if your anger is kind of underground and outwardly you look cool, but inwardly there are little volcanoes going off. How do you fix anger? First of all, I want to just encourage you. This is just some practical points from my first sermon. First of all, it's important to acknowledge when you're angry. Friends, it's important to be honest and to admit, yes, I'm angry right now. It's part of handling emotions well. Instead of letting your emotions get the better of you and letting your emotions sweep you away. In our Freedom in Christ book, we said you don't feel your way to good behavior. You behave your way to good feelings. And so we need to make some choices and say and talk to the Lord and be honest with the Lord when you're angry or when you're going through distress. This is healthy Christianity. And it will help you to mature and grow as a Christian. Because anger has two parts to it. One is the emotion and the feeling, and the other is the behavior. And your feelings are the early warning signal to say something's wrong. And you need to be careful because what you do with that signal is important. And you need to recognize it and own it before you do or say something stupid. Ask me, I know. Secondly, you need to analyze. Second A, analyze what's going on in your heart. What's going on within you. You need to sort your heart out with the Lord. Keller says that where does anger go wrong? When we have no just cause for anger. When we just have disordered anger. And sometimes we go through bad experiences. Sometimes we've been abused. Sometimes things have happened in our past. And what happens is when we go through those experiences again, they trigger strong emotions and we react in a particular way, almost unconsciously. Neil Anderson says, mental strongholds distort our understanding of who we are and who God is. We remain in bondage to the past, not because of the trauma itself, but because of the lies we believed at the time. It's like a Land Rover driving across a muddy field, and you drive the same way day after day. You respond in the same way, and there are tracks that form. And so every time you're in a situation that triggers you off emotionally, you run in those tracks. You respond in a particular way. And friends, what we need to do is we need to see the tracks. We need to see the hole. We need to see how we're responding and choose to drive around those tracks and live differently for God. It's so important because otherwise we keep repeating the same patterns over and over and over again, don't we? The same patterns, attitudes to the opposite sex, money issues, race issues, forgiveness. We don't join the dots. And we don't realize, hang on a minute, I'm falling into this trap again. When I was a little boy, we used to have lots of coloring in books. And some of them were join the dot books. Do you still get those today? Do you? And there would be lots of dots on the page. And you would look at the dots. You wouldn't know what the picture was, whether it was an animal or a building or whatever. And as you join the dots, ding, 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 you look and you say, ah, that's an elephant or whatever. And friends, in life, we need to join the dots and say, oh, that's what's going on in my life. I see it. And I'm not going to fall into this trap. It's so important because God gave us emotions, but it's how we handle those emotions. And we mustn't just follow our emotions. We must learn to follow God's truth and follow the Holy Spirit. So we need to analyze what's going on and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to unpack our emotions. Ask the Holy Spirit's not just here on Sunday morning, but the Holy Spirit's here to help us live during the week as well. Ask Him to unpack your emotions. Your emotions, your feelings, are like the lights on the dashboard of your car. You know, you can drive along sometimes and the light comes on. Boom, it's flashing. Now, you can do a number of things when the light comes on. The light's telling you there's a problem in the engine. You can take some masking tape and you can stick it over the light. So it just goes away. So see, it's not even shining anymore. It's gone. And that's called suppression, where you just bury your emotions. Or you can take a hammer out of your glove compartment and you can smash the light. It's gone. And that's called expression or explosion. And that later on leads to depression. Or you can slow down, listen carefully, slow down, stop the car, open the bonnet, and make correction. And here in this story of Jesus, this servant had made no connection between what had happened in his own life and his friend. He made no connection between the massive forgiveness he had received and the forgiveness he needed to extend to his friend. And friends, it's so important that we understand the gospel's not just meant to be received, but the gospel's meant to transform us. We must make those connections. We must realize, I've been forgiven for everything. Help me, Lord, to be forgiving to others. We need to do that. It's so important today. And so analysis of your anger and emotional issues sometimes, although it's difficult, it'll reveal a lot to you about who you are. It'll reveal a lot to you about what's going on in your own life and your relationship with Jesus. And if you have idols in your life, we've been looking at that lately, you might find that your love for money is stronger than your love for Jesus. And that's what happened to the servant here. His love for money, his wanting to get his money back, was more important to him than the forgiveness he's just received. He loved money more than God. He loved money more than his relationship to the king. And at that point, God was on audio and the money situation was on video. It was gripping him. And friends, we need to look into this and say, Lord, I want to find you in these struggles, because whether it's fear or lack of trust or anger or rejection, that's a big one. We need to ask God to help us in the midst of that, to come in and help us, because we can just lose it. We can just lose it. And we can lose God's peace in the moment. When I was standing on the freeway, you know, God, I didn't really sense God very much at that point when this guy bumped my car, but I should have. And this sermon I'm preaching to myself as well. So how can you do three tests to find out if your anger is righteous and it's good or whether it's uncontrolled? First of all, you need to ask yourself quickly, is this the right thing to get angry about? Is it the right thing to get angry about? Is it a good or bad thing I'm getting worked up about? A few hundred dollars, is it that important? Is it a major or is it a minor? Secondly, is my anger righteous that I'm expressing? Is it righteous anger I'm expressing? Is it slow anger or is it blow anger? Remember, anger is supposed to do good. Your anger can energize you. Jesus was meek, but he wasn't mild. And sometimes Jesus got angry when he drove them out of the temple and so on. And so you need to ask the Lord to help you. Lord, is my anger righteous? And you ask yourself a question. Am I really in control right now? Secondly, look at the results of your anger. Does it resolve problems or cause more problems? And look at relationships when you get angry. Do people run away from you? Or do they want to fight you and retaliate? What does it do in relationships? And finally, number three, how long does your anger last? Does it last for days or months or years or decades? Or do you resolve it quickly? Ephesians 4 tells us, be angry, sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So what that probably means is you need to sort out your anger issues every 24 hours. Don't carry them over to the next day. Don't let the sun come up on your anger. Let it go down on your anger, and you've sorted it out. So firstly, acknowledge it. Secondly, analyze what's going on. Have a deeper look inside. Ask God to help you. And thirdly, ask the Holy Spirit to step in. Ask Him to step. He's right there with you. Take a deep breath and look to God, even when you're angry. Ask Him to help you. Practice the presence of God who's there. Practice the presence of God. Don't let your emotions override the presence of God. Prove the power of God and the gospel in your life at that point. Say, Lord, I need you right now. I'm losing it. Lord, I'm distressed. I'm angry. I'm struggling. Lord, I need you right. Where's your presence? And God will be with you. God will be with you in that situation. He won't, listen carefully, God won't run away because of the ugly mood you're in. He'll be with you. He'll come close to you. And that's when we need to remember His word. His word is like a mirror, and his word is like a light. It's a mirror showing us our own hearts, and it's like a lamp guiding us forward. Say, Lord, I need your word right now. Won't you speak to me? Won't you help me? Ask him to help you, and he'll speak to you and he'll guide you. Friends, this is the biblical resolution of anger by the grace of God. God can help us with this. It's so important. Paulison, one of the writers, he says, his sovereignty surrounds the issues I face. My world is not out of control. You will solve some real emotional and anger issues as you learn to believe that God is there. God is extremely relevant when you're stuck in traffic or running late or someone owes you money. God's there. He's part of that. He's present and he's up to something good in your life. His overriding purpose is to make you into the image of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God wants you to be a peacemaker, not a warmonger. And in the midst of a traffic jam, of someone who owes you money or someone who's offended you, you have an opportunity at that point to become the kind of person God wants you to be. And you know what God does in my life? I've found it. You know, if I get it wrong, and I often get it wrong, and I blow it. Yesterday I lost it with my wife just for a few seconds, and then repented and came back and apologized. Because she put something in the microwave before I could put my milk in the microwave. It was a big issue. It was a massive theological issue. You know, these are the deep things we sometimes argue about. Big stuff. I know you guys argue about the nations and the theology, but these are the things we sometimes argue about. And this is what I've learned. If I don't get it right, God will bring me back to that place again and 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 again until, bing, I get it right. And I see, oh, that's what's happening. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. He's committed to your growth. He's committed to make you like Jesus. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to keep bringing you back again and again and again until you grow through that area. Say, Lord, I've learned. Lord, I've learned. And he transforms you to be like Jesus. So final point. We need to learn not just to acknowledge our anger. And find so often Christians are bad with this first point because we pretend we're not angry. We pretend we're not cross. We just pretend. There's so much pretense that goes on in the church sometimes. And we need to just be honest. Say, look, I'm struggling right now. Help me. And secondly, we need to analyze, Lord, what's going on in my heart? How can the gospel change my heart? And thirdly, we need to analyze it and acknowledge it and then ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help us. Look for the presence of God. Say, Lord Jesus, help me. Fill me with your presence. And finally, ask him to help you to act obediently despite your feelings, to step out and to choose to act differently, to not vent but to repent. And to watch yourself talk. Watch the things you say when you're angry. Because when you're angry, when your heart is charged, your mouth has devastating effect. And you'll say things that later on you will regret. So don't do that. Don't do that. Watch your language. Watch what you're saying to yourself. Because you start talking to yourself when you get angry. Am I the only one? No, we start talking to ourselves. So watch your conversation. Watch what you say to yourself. Watch yourself talk. And don't let it come out of your mouth. Rather just... until you've sorted yourself out. Because we want the Holy Spirit to help us to act obediently. And we want to learn to move in an opposite spirit. Jesus, people reviled him. They retaliated against him. They cursed him. And never once did he respond in unrighteous anger. Never once. And so it says in Romans chapter 12. We can just turn there as I come to a close. Romans chapter 12. This powerful scripture. Romans chapter 12. It says... verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. I mean, I'm not there yet. Who's there? Who's arrived at that verse? Hands up. I'd love to shake your hand. Okay, one or two of you. Good. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or proud, but associate with the lowly. We commanded to do that. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, take him to KFC. And pay for the meal. Pay for the meal. Or buy him a Big Mac, whatever you eat. I don't eat Big Macs, but whatever. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. That doesn't mean you'll burn him down. In the old days, what that meant is when someone used to be walking home, they needed coals from the fire to take home, and you would be giving them some extra coals so that when they go home, they could start a fire. You were blessing them and encouraging them and helping them. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, this is the gospel. This is Christianity. It outstrips Islam. It outstrips Hinduism. It outstrips every other religion. This is beyond self-control. This is God control. When I take my enemy to KFC, when I bless those who persecute me, when I overcome evil with good, when I learn to handle my emotions well and not respond in a bad spirit, but respond in an opposite spirit. And that's what Jesus said to the apostles in the Gospels. That was his advice for his frontline troops. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. And the only way we overcome this world is when you move in an opposite spirit. You find a man who's angry, you respond in love. You find someone who's sexually perverted, you respond in purity. You find a man who's overcome with homosexual tendencies, and you show him true godly masculine love that's not perverted. This is the gospel. This is the power of God. This is the power of God for traffic jams, when people owe you money, when people have offenses. This is it. This is what will change our country. This is what will change the nations. This is the gospel. It's radical. It's completely radical. It's off the charts. Jesus, how many times must I forgive my enemies? Seven times? No, Peter, unlimited forgiveness. Jesus, really? Yes. Let me tell you a story. There was a servant who owed his master millions of dollars, and he forgave him, and his friend just a few rand, and he choked him. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Be completely absorbed with what God has done for you. Completely overcome by the mercy of God. Friends, he's forgiven us for everything. Millions and millions of dollars you could never repay. He just wrote it off. Not just wrote it off, but he made a deposit into your account. Our sins weren't just removed. He covered you with the righteousness of Jesus, which is priceless. He didn't just remove the debt in your account. He made an injection of cash into your account. That's what Jesus did. And that needs to fill our horizon. When we go from Monday to Friday to Saturday to Sunday, that needs to fill our horizon. So when we interact with people, we're conscious of the mercy of God. Person comes, say, I'm sorry, I owe you a few hundred dollars. Say, don't worry, do you know what? Jesus is great. He's forgiven me of everything. That needs to preoccupy our thinking. And friends, this is the great transition when we begin to operate out of our spirits and not just out of our flesh. If you can handle a bad traffic jam, you can handle anything in South Africa. If you can handle it when someone owes you money and you can work it out and forgive them, you can handle anything. When people offend you and they hurt you and you can just forgive them and then bless them, you are starting to mature as a Christian. You're not just a Sunday church attender. You're starting to become like Jesus. Hallelujah. You're starting to become like Jesus. You're starting to move in a realm that is supernatural. You're starting to have a lifestyle that's supernatural. You're starting to move in this world like a son of God. That's completely different. And you're tapping into a power and a resource that others know nothing about. You're tapping into it. You're tapping into it. You're acknowledging your emotions. You're aware of what's going on in your life. You're analyzing what's going on in your heart. Not looking inside all the time. You don't need to take your pulse every 5 minutes, but you're aware of what's happening in your life, particularly the strongholds and the areas that you struggle with. You're aware of those. You're asking the Holy Spirit to come in. That's been my problem. Sometimes I've been so ashamed of my emotions and my own sin. I haven't wanted God to be part of it. I've been too ashamed sometimes to say, Lord, I need you to help me right now because I haven't been doing very well. But more and more I'm learning, even in my ugliness, even in my weakness, I can ask Jesus to be with me. He knows about me anyway, and he's with me anyway. It's just a lie of the enemy. And I can say, Lord, I need you right now. I'm not doing very well on the N3 in this traffic jam. But Lord, I know you're with me. Won't you help me? Hallelujah. And then by faith, I begin to act obediently. I begin to step out and I choose. I say to my feelings, get behind me. I'm choosing to do this. Instead of cursing, I'm choosing to bless. Instead of speaking sometimes, I'm learning to just keep quiet. Because that's what James says, doesn't it? It's a wonderful scripture. Be quick. Do not be quick in your spirit to become angry. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. And these are the things we need to learn by the power of the gospel. These are the stories that Jesus is teaching us. How to live. How to conduct ourselves in this world. His standards are impossible. They're impossible. His standards are off the charts. That's why we don't follow the law in the Old Testament. It's too low. It's too low. But by the grace of God and by the power of the Spirit, we can do this. We can do this. God is with us and he can help us. So next time your wife puts her coffee in the microwave before your milk, and it's a serious moment for you because you're feeling unloved at that moment and that she didn't notice your milk in the microwave and your world begins to crumble and you wonder if she really loves you. At that moment, acknowledge, analyze, ask the Holy Spirit to help you and say, honey bunny, I hope you have a good cup of coffee before me. I'm praying you enjoy your coffee. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do this together, church. Let's do it. Let's stand together as we pray.